We have been talking about communication this month on Sunday evenings, and I'm appreciative of Brother Brian filling in for me on last Sunday. And so tonight we're going to be talking about the beauties of communication. And I'm going to address this from a different angle on tonight, not necessarily between, you know, man and man, husband and wife. Going to be very little of that. But this is going to be more on how we communicate with God, how God communicates with us, and then we take that communication that we have with Him and we communicate with one another. And then we'll talk about how we ought to be communicating with those who are on the outside. And so, if you will, I want us to begin with the beauties of communication with our God and Father is when He communicates with us. And more I was thinking about this, I thought about Hebrews chapter 1, if you will. And we'll look at some introductory passages and we'll open up the class for discussion as we always do. And it's good to see everyone here on tonight. In Hebrews chapter 1, we know that God communicates with us, and we know how He communicates with us. And so in verse number 1 through verse number 3, take notice of something real quick. God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets. Now, watch this. Has in these last days spoken to us by His Son, whom He has appointed heir of all things, through whom He had made the world, who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high, having become so much better than the angels, as He by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. So we read through verse 4. Here we understand that God is speaking through His Son. And so if anybody is going to know anything about God and what He says, he has to listen to His Son, Jesus Christ. And so I'm reminded of what Jesus said on one occasion in John 12. If you will, turn there, verses 47 and 48, where Jesus said, "He that rejected me and receiveth not my word hath one to judge him. The words that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. For I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who gave me what to say and what to speak." When we think about this and we consider Jesus as He speaks for God, if you will, He is speaking on behalf of God, and if we're going to learn anything about Him and know how to communicate to Him, we have to receive communication from Him. And so this is why we can't conjure up things in our own mind as it relates to God Himself. If God wants us to know something, He's going to tell us. And He chose to tell us through His Son, which the Holy Spirit would then inspire the apostles, and the apostles would write those things down. And when we read, then God is communicating with us through His Son and also through His Word. And so turn to Romans chapter 10 real quick. And so I want to just kind of set this groundwork. So when we talk about communication with ourselves, hopefully all of this will begin to make sense. And we'll be able to be encouraged that God is communicating with us, that He hasn't left us down here to fend for ourselves, if you will. He has given us guidance. He has given us His word. And so no one today has to try to travel up to where God is and to go receive the word and bring it back down here. No, sir. No, ma'am. God has already done that. As a matter of fact, that was some of the things that was even being said in the book of Deuteronomy during the time of Moses. And here Paul, by inspiration, actually picks up the spiritual baton and he says the same thing. Notice Romans chapter 10, verses 5 through 8. Nate, if you don't mind, read Romans 10, verses 5 through 8. Romans 10, 5 through 8.
For Moses writes about the righteousness which is of the law. The man who does not those things shall live by them. excuse me, the man who does those things shall live by them.
That's good.
But the righteousness of faith speaks in this way: do not stay in your heart. Who will ascend into heaven? That is to bring Christ down from above. Or who will descend into the abyss? That is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach.
Good. So here we understand that God has spoken. No one today has to go up and try to go and get God's word and bring it back down anymore. No, God's word has come down from heaven, from him himself, and through miraculous means, by the Holy Spirit, through his son, by the Holy Spirit, the apostles, and they wrote it down. We have God's word, and because of that, we can read it, we can obey it, we can apply it, and we can be the better for it. And so when we think about God, and one of the beauties of communication is that God chose to communicate with his conscious creation. He chose to communicate with us. This is why it's so important for us to pick up God's word every day and read it. And when we read it, then we know for a fact that God is speaking. He's speaking to us by his word. But then I want us to talk about this real quick. God gets to hear from us. God gets to hear from us. Now, how does God hear from us? Anybody? Through prayer. Through prayer. But there are a few things that I was taking notice of. When we think about God hearing from us, let's turn to Philippians 4, and let's look at verse number, well, let's start at verse number 4, and let's end at verse number 9. Let me have, you mind reading? You want to read? Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 9. And I was thinking about this as well, how prayer, supplication with thanksgiving is all in one verse. But I want to go up to verse number 4, read on down to verse number 9, catch some of that context. I believe it will be worthy of us hearing and worthy of our imitation. What does the Bible say?
Philippians 4, 4 through 9.
Yes.
Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds to Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you.
Thank you. When you look at verse number 6, which is the focal point of what we want to discuss, one translation says, be careful. The New King James renders, be anxious. Be anxious for nothing. But in everything, notice three things here. By prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Three things there. Our communication with God is through prayer, number one. Number two is through supplication. Brother Leon, what's supplication?
You're earnestly asking God for something.
And so the idea of earnestly asking God for something, you are very specific of this one thing, and this is all you're taking to God right now. Think about prayer. Prayer is more general, where you can talk to God about just about anything. But perhaps there are things that's going on in your heart, in your mind, that you really want to discuss with God, and you just want to lay it at his feet. That one thing, that supplication. This is how God hears from us, through prayers, through supplications, but also, and I appreciate Brother Royce, as he said in his prayer, sometimes we just need to go to God and say, thank you. We're not asking for anything. We're not petitioning for anything, for anyone else. We're just saying, thank you. Thank you for being who you are. Thank you for allowing me to be who I am. Thank you for the congregation. Thank you for the situation I'm in. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 18. In everything give thanks. In everything, and everything. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. So, sometimes it's just good for God to hear you say thank you. It's a good principle to teach our children. it's okay that when you come to me and you approach me, it's okay for you to just say thank you. You don't have to be asking for something every time you open your mouth. It's the same thing with us. That when we approach God, we ought to be saying at times, thank you. So let's talk about this. What are some things that we can thank God for today? Everybody don't speak at once. What are some things we can thank God for today? Sir? All right, our necessities. Good. Yes, sir. Brother Dietrich?
I thank him for my earthly family.
You thank God for your earthly family every day. Amen. Yes, sir. Good. Gage? Your clothes? All right. Anyone else? Providing a way for our salvation. That's good. Anyone else? Yes. Our health. Miss Anna.
We're given the choice of what we're going to do.
Okay.
And I think that's important for us.
Good, good. Anna and then Tony. Amen to that. Miss Tony. Giving thanks for the opportunity to pray. That's a new one. I haven't heard that one. That's a good one. Anyone else? Yes, Brother Wood and then Sister Natasha. That's right. Amen to that. Yes.
Because I don't know what would happen if that happened. I mean, essentially, it is the church.
That's right.
But it's not just one location. It's multiple congregations throughout the
United States. That's right. Good. Gage? That's an excellent one. Leon?
Thank you, Jim, for being our God and Father. Because I'm reminded that Ephesians 2 says that at one point we were without God, without Christ, and had no hope in the world.
That's right. Excellent. Yes, Miss Maureen. It's good. Good, good. Anyone else? Yes, yes, yes. I didn't hear you. Yep. Good. Say again, the gift of his son, the gift of Christ. You know, you think about just approaching God with thanksgiving. You know, we pray about different things and we supplicate about different things. And depending on him answering your prayer depends on how long you're going to supplicate. And God is a God who does answer our prayers. It's another way we communicate with God. Look at Matthew 6. In Matthew 6, verses 1 through 4, Dietrich, if you don't mind, I want you to read that. Matthew 6, 1 through 4. God gets to see things. He gets to see things that we do. He gets to see our hearts. He gets to see the demonstration coming forth from our hearts through our actions. And I'm reminded of Hebrews 6 and verse number 10 that God is not unjust to forget your good works and the things you do towards your brethren. He doesn't forget those things. He sees. We get to communicate with God through the things that we do, and he gets to see it. So in Matthew chapter 6, verses 1 through 4, what does the Bible teach us there?
Take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds before men, to be seen by them. Otherwise, you have no reward from your Father in heaven. Therefore, when you do your charitable deed, do not sound the trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory from men. Surely I say to you, they have their reward. But when you do a charitable deed, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, that your charitable deed may be done in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will himself reward you openly.
Wow. Y'all see that? I mean, you're doing good toward other people. God sees that. The source of communication from us to God. He sees the good that we're doing. We don't have to go around and boast. We don't have to go around and tell no one, I did this, I did that, I didn't know. You don't have to do that. Guess who sees? Our God. And he sees in secret. And Brother Leon, he says he rewards what? Openly. Brethren, are y'all with me? You hearing that? That's a beautiful thing, which means that I don't have to go about telling anyone what I've done. God sees, and God will make that to be known. There's a passage, if I'm remembering, go to Proverbs, I think it's 19. I think it's 19. Let me get there real quick, because I'm just not thinking about it. Proverbs 19, where is that? Yes, verse 17, Proverbs 19, 17. Brother Royce, you mind reading that? Proverbs 19, 17, that's a beautiful passage.
He who has pity on the poor lives to the Lord, and he will pay back.
Wow, that's a good passage there. Just that implies so many things. Number one, I'm communicating to God that I'm paying attention to those who are in need, having pity on the poor. And when I do that, God, in essence, is saying, when you take care of the poor, you're doing that to me. I'll take care of you. A lot of times, just speaking from experience, when I was younger in the faith, it was hard to come loose or not hold on so tight to my resources. Because, you know, I wasn't sure if I was going to need those resources for later, you know. Wife and five kids and, you know, things. Sometimes you had more month than money. Been there, done that. But then you learn, you grow, and you develop, and you say, you know, here's an opportunity. I'm paying attention. I'm going to go ahead and do this. I'm going to perform a charitable deed. And as we were considering this morning, as Jesus said, when you did it to the least of these, my brethren, you did it unto me. So to give to the poor is to lend to the Lord. And so a beautiful way on how we communicate with our God and how God sees what we're doing. He hears our prayers. He sees our supplications. He sees our charitable works. He hears when we're giving thanksgiving. Friends, let it never be said or never be thought in your mind that you're doing that for nothing, praying for nothing, giving thanks for nothing, supplicating for nothing. No, it's not for nothing. It's for something. You're doing what God says. And sometimes it's just enough to know that I'm doing what God says. That's enough. Any comments? Anybody want to add? Yes, sir.
I think when we pause and look at it and continue to read scripture like we're supposed to, we know that he blessed us with our talents anyway.
That's a good point.
To provide for our families. And obviously, if we don't stick with him, you know, can't go wrong. So,
that's a good point.
You know, reason why we shouldn't help a person in need, and we shouldn't think of it as what they're going to do with the money.
That's right.
That's on them.
Right.
But our job is to help.
I'm reminded of what David said on one occasion in Psalm 37. He said, I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his what? Seed, beg, bread. Yes, sir.
Well, I don't know if you plan on getting to Matthew 6, 5 and following about when you pray, don't be like a hypocrite. You don't pray to be seen by men.
That's right.
But when you do pray, don't be a rude. When you have shut your door, pray to your Father. Why? Because when you pray in secret, he hears it openly. Reward.
That's right.
The charitable deed.
That's right.
You don't have to go around pat yourself on the back. You don't have to make a big scene when you pray.
That's right.
Let God take care of that.
Let God take care of that. Anyone else? Yes, sir.
Going back to Philippians 4, I think it's a testament to our faith when we pray. It says, be anxious for nothing.
Okay.
You mentioned earlier, we are laying our requests at the feet. So if we have faith that God will provide a way, we have no reason to worry.
That's right.
We have laid it at his feet.
That's right.
Our problem is that we like to try to control the situation. We can't lay our requests and still try.
That's an excellent point. Brother Roy said this about a year or two ago, and I remember like it was yesterday. He went to 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse number 7, casting all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. We have to believe that. We have to believe that God cares for us. I believe that. I believe with all my heart that God cares for me. I believe that with all my heart. I want you to ask yourself a question. Do you believe with all your heart that God cares for you? Do you believe that?
No,
sir?
Sometimes I don't act like it.
Sometimes.
I've got to be conscious that if I truly believe he cares for me, am I living it? Am I acting like it?
That's right. Amen. Appreciate that. So one of the beauties of communication is that God communicates with us, but then we get to communicate with him. But then I want you to take notice of this. Another beautiful thing that I saw as it relates to communication is the communication that we have with ourselves. There are so many things we tell ourselves. There's so many things we tell ourselves. Some good, some not so good. Some righteous, some not so righteous. Some holy, some not so holy. We have to be careful what we tell ourselves. Because whatsoever a man thinketh in his heart, what? So is he. So is he. So I want to give you some things that I believe will encourage you. Psalm 4, verse number 1 through 4. Psalm 4, 1 through 4. There's something about communing or meditating, which is the idea there. Luke, do you mind reading? Psalm 4, verses 1 through 4. Communing with ourselves. And I found it interesting, and I learned this from Brother Hall a couple months back, and it just kind of stuck with me. And I thought it was beautiful. In Psalm 4, verses 1 through 4, what does the Bible say? Notice what he says, especially in verse number 4, where he says, be angry and do not sin. Meditate or commune within your heart. Notice the location. Where? On your bed. That's when you take your phone and you just kind of put it somewhere. If I can get it out of my pocket. You just kind of put it somewhere. You just think. Meditate. And ponder. I struggle with that. You know? It's dark. You got that blue light right in your face, right before bed, and then you wonder why you wake up 2-3 in the morning sometime, because, well, your mind ain't shut down. And God is trying to help us. Trying to help us. He said, meditate on your bed. Remember the goodness of God. Remember how good he is. Talking to oneself. Yes, sir, Brother James.
One thing when I was in preaching school, Brother Greider said that stuck with me is we often feel bad when we fall asleep when we're speaking to God. But he said he never feels more comfortable. Falling asleep speaking to God is the best thing that you can do.
Yeah, that's good. Anyone else?
Whether it's
it. I just turn it on so there's noise or something in my peripheral that's not still.
That's right.
You know, our phones, but even with our kids, you know, like, we lost the ability to just sit, whether it's on your bed or wherever, alone, and be still.
Be still.
And be okay with it.
And be okay with that. Yes, sir. Thank you.
This passage, verse 4, is actually mentioned in the New Testament, which shows that David and Paul were in concert on the theme.
Right.
And in Ephesians chapter 4, beginning of verse 26,
yep.
The scripture says, be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil.
That's right.
We shouldn't let the devil occupy our brains late at night with the last thing that we seen, which maybe wasn't even good, what we scrolled by on Facebook or YouTube, you know? Ought to just put it away. Or maybe even turn it on airplane mode.
That's good. Amen. Anyone else want to add to that? Look at Psalm 63, verse 6. And then I have a long one. Isaac, Psalm 77, it's a long one, 1 through 15, but it will be worth our reading, I promise you, Psalm 77, 1 through 15, Psalm 63 and verse number 6, let me have Danielle, Psalm 63, verse 6. I will remember you where? What did he say? Read it again.
When I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night.
Wow. I think sometimes, I'm just going to speak about me. I think sometimes I'm too busy, even at night right before bed, to meditate. I got things to do. And it's even time for bed. Wow. We can slow down. Life can stop. And I can actually be still and know there's a God. I can be quiet. I can think. I can commune with myself. I can go over my day. I can think about the conversations that I had throughout the day. Maybe I can work on this. Man, I did that right. Man, okay, this is good. This is good. Man, I can work on that. I can work. You know, tomorrow I think I'm going to do this if it's the Lord's will. I can talk to myself. And I can remember the goodness and the grace of God. Psalm 77. Now listen to this. It's beautiful. Psalm 77, the first 15 verses. Isaac. Isn't that beautiful? See how many times he talks about God, meditating on his bed, thinking about those things. Friends, I know for a fact that we can slow down just a little bit and think about our God and the beauty of who he is and what he has done. And we can pour out our hearts on our bed at night. And he will hear. He will hear. He will hear. And so we can commune with ourselves about the greatness of the Most High. We can commune with ourselves, remind ourselves of the goodness of God. And I love in verse number 10 when he says, "This is my anguish, but I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High." Life is hard sometimes. It's difficult at times. However, again, there's a God in heaven that truly looks out for us if we would truly trust in him. Any comments? Anybody want to add to what has been said? Yes, sir, Brother Evan.
There's something to be said about what one thinks about on their bed. And we see the righteous aspect of this. The psalmist also reports in Psalm 36:4 that the wicked, they devise mischief.
Yes.
And Micah 2, what great evil was, they were planning evil at night so they could get up in the morning and act out that evil. So that's a great time to plan righteousness.
Excellent contrast, Evan. As a matter of fact, I was going to make a point, and I forgot, but when you raised your hand and spoke, you reminded me. It was Evan's dad, him and I was talking one time, and we were talking about the Psalms. And he said, I believe sometimes, he was talking about himself, that I don't have the courage and the strength to pray like David prayed and to say some of the things that he said. I mean, some of the things that David said that as he was talking with God, be like, wow, he really talked like that to God? He was really pouring his heart out like that? Yes, he was. And you can tell a lot about yourself on how you talk to him. How you talk to him. Here in this context, he's communing with himself, but he's communing with himself about his God. Let me show you one more. And saving this one for last, because it's always been one of my favorites. Luke 15, with the prodigal son, verses 17 through 20. Luke 15, 17 through 20. Brother Glenn, you mind reading that? Luke 15, 17 through 20.
Okay. And when he came to himself, he said, "How many hired servants of my father have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants." And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck.
We know the story of the prodigal son. Appreciate that, Brother Glenn, and how he received his inheritance from his father early, went and spent it on riotous living, realized he was in a bad situation. And what did he do? He talked to himself. He communed with himself. Made up this scenario within his mind and went back home and carried it out. Question. What are we telling ourselves? What are we telling ourselves? You know, if we could talk ourselves into trouble, we ought to be able to talk ourselves out of trouble, would you think? This man talked himself into getting all of his inheritance and went out and spent it in a way that he shouldn't have spent it. However, he talked himself into going back home. And guess who was waiting on him? His father. Yes, sir.
What did he have? Compassion on his son.
He had compassion. Yes. Any comments? Yes, ma'am.
I was going to say, you know, in the beginning we talked about what are some things to thank God for. And I do think that one of the things to thank him for is our ability to reason, our ability to critically think. And a lot of us don't take advantage of that ability as often as we should.
Yeah, and the more we're exposed to AI, I think the more dangerous it's going to become, because then AI can think for you. But really, can AI think for you? No. Friends, we must think for ourselves. must reason for ourselves. And that's one of the beauties of communication. I get to actually talk to myself. I get to talk to myself. Any comments on that? Anybody want to add to that? Thirdly, we get to talk to each other. Brother Bradley said some good things on Wednesday night. I'm glad I was here to hear some of that, all of that. And he went to Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. And so I'm not going to revisit that. But he was talking about exhortation and the different ideas that that word can be translated into, which was worthy of us hearing that and listening to that. Well, we get to communicate with each other by stirring up one another. The word stir there is literally means to irritate one another. You know, we know how to irritate each other, but sometimes it's not in the positive. This is a positive irritation. You know, we can positively irritate one another unto love and good works. Look at Jude 20. In Jude 20, Archer, Jude 20. Let's read that real quick.
But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying the Holy Ghost.
Notice what he says, building yourselves up. This requires all of us working together to esteem each other, to communicate with one another, to use words that's actually going to help each other to be better, to do better. And friends, that requires communication. That's one of the beauties of communication. When I think about that, I think about how we have the opportunity to pray for one another and pray with one another. Another beautiful application to the beauties of communication. And I often use Philippians 1, 3, and 4. And I want us to take notice of that. Because I think about Paul, how we're building up one another in the most holy faith. And I think about how Paul was talking to his Father in heaven about the brethren at Philippi. And it's so important for us to keep this in mind. Brother, you mind reading Philippians chapter 1, 3, and 4?
Thanks, my God, on every remembrance of you, always in every prayer, with my making requests for all.
Now notice what he says. He says, I thank my God upon every what of you? Remembrance. Can we be too occupied to remember each other? Friends, we need to be remembering each other, keeping each other in prayer. How often do you just take time out, send a message to someone saying, hey, thinking about you, praying for you, praying with you? What are the benefits of that? What are the benefits of praying for and with each other? What are the benefits? Anybody?
Encouragement.
Say again?
Share the burden,
encouragement. Jamie? I thought you had your hand up. You know, if I see movement, I'm going to think something. Anyone else? That's a good point. Anyone else? Leon?
We have to think about whenever Paul, after he finished speaking with those Ephesian elders in that seacoast village of Miletus.
Yeah. It's often said that food brings people together. That's true. prayer does too. Yes, ma'am. That's an excellent point. Prayer should not be a cliche. Prayer should not be something that we just throw out there as haphazard. I was talking to Evelyn the other day, and she said going through this situation has taught her that when she says that she's going to pray for somebody, she needs to do it then. It's amazing what we learn when life is hitting you. Yes, sir.
You know, we often say there's strength in numbers. Think about that with prayer. When we have a congregation praying on our behalf as opposed to just ourselves praying on our behalf.
Speaking of that, strength in numbers, look at Acts chapter 4, and since you brought it up, I'm going to have you read it. Acts chapter 4, 23 through 31. Acts chapter 4, 23 through 31. Notice the text here.
Acts chapter 4, 23-31. And being let go, they went to their own companions and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. So when they heard that, they raised their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, you are God, who made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them, who by the mouth of your servant David had said, why did the nations rage? And the people fought vain things. The king of the earth took their stand, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For truly against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, were gathered together to do whatever your hand and your purpose determined before to be done. Now, Lord, look on their threats and grant your servants that, with all boldness, they may speak your word. By stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness.
Amen. Guess what they did? Brother Ryan, they came together and prayed for boldness, strength in numbers, encouraging one another, communicating with one another. Friends, we need each other. One thing I do know, that the wolf desires is for a sheep to be all by itself. And I was talking to Brother Brian the other day. Him and I was chatting. He was giving me words of exhortation. And I took him to Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verses 9 through verse number 11. And one of the difficulties in life, if we're not careful, friends, is that when we find ourselves alone, the last thing you want is to be alone when you fall. It's the last thing you want. Here we find Peter and the brethren, and he calls him his companions, if you will. I know it's in the italics, but it doesn't do any damage to the text. Friends, we need to communicate with each other. We need to talk with one another. And so look at Malachi 3, and I'll kind of leave you with some more of these little points, and we'll end here in a few minutes. We only have about 7-8 minutes. But in Malachi 3, 16 through 18, we see the opportunity coming together, even as what we're doing right now, talking Bible. But we don't have to wait for Sunday and Wednesday. We can do it any day of the week. You can get a few people come together, and they're talking about God's word. They're communicating with each other about God's word. And here we see that God sees it. In Malachi 3, verses 16 through verse 18, then those who feared the Lord spoke to one another, and the Lord listened and heard them. So a book of remembrance was written before him for those who fear the Lord and who meditated on his name. They shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, on the day that I make them my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spares his own son who serves him. Then you shall again discern between the righteous and the wicked, between one who serves God and the one who does not serve God. And so I wrote down a few things that I thought was pretty interesting. That we have opportunity to talk Bible, we get God's attention, we show God reverence, we gain discernment, and we work on our characteristics. All because we come together and we communicate the word of God together. And then it made me think about Proverbs 27 and 17, iron sharpeneth iron. So a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. And so I was looking at that word countenance, and it's the idea of his face, his demeanor, the way that he looks. And it makes sense that we ought to be able to look at each other and say, Brother Royce, what's going on? What's wrong? Brother Royce, do you have a headache? I have a migraine, like praying for you. And then I know, because I communicate with Royce all the time, when he has a migraine, just leave him be. He's going to be all right. Because when he doesn't have a migraine, he's funny. It's true. But that's knowing my brother. That's knowing my brother. And so when we're sharpening one another, it makes our countenance to bright up, if you will, to illuminate. Look at Ecclesiastes 8. Look at verse number 1. Ecclesiastes 8, verse 1. Ray, you mind reading Ecclesiastes 8, verse 1? Ecclesiastes 8, verse 1.
Who is as wise? Who is as the wise man? And who knoweth the interpretation of a thing? A man's wisdom makes his face to shine, and the boldness of his face shall be changed.
That's a powerful passage. Go back and study it for yourself. The more wisdom you attain, the more your face shines. This is why we ought to be communicating with one another the word of God. Not our own wisdom, not what we think, but what does the word of God say? Because that's really what's going to illuminate us. That's what's going to help us to think better, to think right, and to help others think right, which actually brings me to my last point, that we have an opportunity to show Christ living in us the hope of glory. And friends, we communicate with God. He has communicated with us through his word, through his son. And then we communicate with ourselves. But then we ought to take that communication to the world. And they ought to be able to see Jesus living in us. Was talking between services, and Acts 4 verse 13 came about. Look at that real quick. Y'all give me about 3 extra minutes, maybe. In Acts 4 verse 13, this passage came about, and I was pondering it on the way to the building, and it caused me to have great encouragement. Here, the Bible says, now when they saw the boldness, this is when the Sanhedrin saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled. But why did they marvel, friends? They realized that these men had been with Jesus. People ought to realize you've been with Jesus. You think like him, you talk like him, you live like him. You can be like him. And so, we have an opportunity to show Jesus living in us. And so, what do? We prepare ourselves to give an answer. So what do? We make sure that we're working together as one man. And I was thinking about that. Same chapter, Acts 4, look at verse 32 to 35. As we're working together to fulfill the Great Commission, working together to edify one another, friends, we ought to work together to demonstrate one man, one people, one soul. God is not communicating with us, and we're not communicating with him, and we're not communicating with ourselves, and we're not communicating with one another, so we can be fragmented. He wants us to be one. He wants us to be one. And so in Acts 4, verses 32 to 35, let me have Seth. Acts 4, 32 to 35. Beautiful passages of scripture here.
resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Nor were there anyone among them who lacked, for all who were possessors of land or houses sold them, and brought the proceeds of these things that were sold, and laid them at the apostles' feet, and they distributed it to each as anyone had need.
You see verse 32? Where it says that the multitude of those who believed were of one heart and of one soul. Individuals, yet one. Communicating with God. Allowing God to communicate with you. You communicating with yourself. Communicating with one another. So we can communicate to the world that we're in this together. Not fragmented. Not a sheep that's kind of lingering in back waiting for the wolf to devour it. We're in this together. And just like our God is in it together, we are in this together. So let's work together. And so when we think about the beauties of communication, friends, we ought to do our part to just work on our communication with our God, with ourselves, with one another, with those who are on the outside.